Hello, and welcome back to the CT Versus Audio Interviews. This episode, I am talking with Tip, a band whose members come from across New England, but they call New Haven their home. They also happen to be the organizers behind the annual Catterskill Music and Arts Festival, or KMA Fest for short. We're going to talk a little bit about that in this episode. The song you heard in the intro there, that is called Canadian Coins. That was a single that they released late last year in October. In this episode, I sit with all four members of the band, and we talk about their upcoming album, their history together, and what their name, Tip, T-I-P, stands for. Okay, here it is, my interview with Tip.
All right, so here with me today, I have Tip, and joining me are the four members of Tip, who are...
Chris,
Mike,
Connor, and Terrence.
Okay, so Chris, Mike, Connor, and Terrence, would you mind telling the listener what your perspective roles are in the band? Because I find that that kind of changes depending on the recording, right?
Yeah, you're right. So for the most part, this is not a hard and fast one. For the most part, me, Chris, I play bass.
I play drums mostly, and I play guitar on the songs that I write, which is nice because Connor.
Yeah, I play guitar mostly, and then when Mike writes songs, I play drums.
Yeah, and I'll just play guitar the whole time. Pretty easy for me.
Cool. So I'm going to get into that a little bit in just a moment, but there's two questions that I have to ask everybody at the top of these shows. So the first is, what is your favorite place in Connecticut? It doesn't have to be a place like music related necessarily, but it can be. And it doesn't have to be like the band's favorite place. It could be each of your favorite place. So what is your favorite place in Connecticut?
I think we all collectively like New Haven a lot.
Yeah.
specifically, I don't know.
A place that no longer exists.
Yeah.
There's a place called The Galaxy where we all actually started kind of connecting with a lot of these Connecticut bands. And it was kind of our first home. It was a house venue. And it's really where we met this circle of people that we are best friends with to this day. We actually have two friends with us right here now from a local band called The Hound. And they're actually sitting here with us right now. And we met them at The Galaxy as well. So it's a place, it was a house venue from UNH students that it's no longer around, but we were trying to keep the spirit alive.
Yeah. So what years are we talking about with that?
Oh, geez.
Probably 2000.
The Galaxy was like 2013, 14.
Yes.
To like 16, 17. Yeah. It was around for 5 years. Yeah. Thank you, Lauren.
So that's a pretty easy question, I know. So the second question is also pretty easy. Morally, is it always wrong to lie, or is there ever a case when it is okay to lie?
I mean, if the dress just doesn't look that great.
They call me Chrissy White Lies, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you could lie to your kids as long as it's about Santa.
Okay, so then when is it appropriate to tell your kids about Santa?
The second time they ask.
so you'll lie to them once, and then the second time it's like, all right.
He's not real. I'm just kidding.
Okay. It has to be the same conversation though.
Yeah.
I see. So does that answer apply to the entire band, or is that,
yes,
is that just how you feel? Yes. Okay, gotcha. I didn't know that was like a band policy. I didn't know that you had that was part of the band charter.
We're pretty strict about one lie, one truth.
Okay. Every time I see your band's name, it's always like in all caps, right? So does TIP stand for anything, or is that just like the way you stylize it?
It's mostly style because it's a short word.
Right. Okay. Yeah, originally the original idea, I guess we're kind of like blowing the secret here, but TIP doesn't really have a meaning. It doesn't stand for anything. TIP was the second name. We used to be called the Equinox House Band back when we were at Siena College playing townhouse parties. And TIP, yeah, very literally was the first one syllable word that none of us said no to. So we all kept it, and then we stylized it in all caps as a way to avoid the word being lost, because it seemed like the word the, where if it was right, in all small letters, it would easily get lost on a bill or something like that. So we just made it large.
So if you had to lie to somebody to like say what it stands for, what would you tell them?
I'd say it's advice.
That's a tough question. I'm going to go with, no, I can't say it.
Time.
I don't want to get censored. I don't know. Pass.
Okay. So we'll just say like time is precious or.
Yeah. Give us something.
Okay, cool. So when are you going to change your Bandcamp page from New York to Connecticut?
Oh, shit. Well, we probably should at this point.
Yeah, we definitely should.
At this point, only two of us live in New York. So.
And are you originally from Albany? Is that right?
I'm originally from Albany. I'm Chris here. And we all met in Albany. Yeah.
Okay. Did you all go to UNH?
No, we went to Siena College.
I went to high school. This is Mike here. I went to high school with a bunch of people that ended up going to UNH. Yeah, sure. So then they started the Galaxy. So I was always in contact with them. And when they started doing shows over there, we started traveling there basically to do them. So Connecticut is just kind of like our breeding ground and like where most of our friends and fans are.
Gotcha. So it sounds like the four of you kind of come from different geographical locations. So how did you all like kind of come together to make music?
We started, Connor, me and Chris went to Siena and we kind of started out just to play parties because the music at parties is usually bad. So we decided to like do it ourselves so we could play whatever we want. People loved it. And then when we changed the name, we started like recording and writing more seriously. And then when we graduated, we kind of adopted Terrence. And the twins moved to Boston. So Connecticut became like our surrogate home.
Yeah.
Because it's right in between.
Right.
And we make sure we both have to drive.
Yeah.
So whenever the three of you were in Siena College, how did you meet up? Or did you know each other before that?
We met at Pep Bands.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Play on the sidelines of basketball games.
And me and Mike kissed on TV one time.
What instruments did you play in Pep Band?
Connor and I played two drum sets that faced each other. Yeah. Chris was barely in Pep Band.
I actually was only, I only went to Pep Band practice one time. And that's when I met them, and then I quit. And then I left the school, but then started playing for Pep Band after I left the school.
We just kind of told the director, hey, Chris is coming again, so bring
the amp. The fun thing was nobody plays electric bass in Pep Band, so I could, like, let the horns hold the low end down, and I'm just, like, soloing on my neon green string bass. It was a great time. I miss it.
But you should do that at a live show. Like, get out.
Don't tempt me.
So what is the scariest thing you've ever done for fun?
Scariest?
Yeah. So the reason why I ask is because I feel like some of you seem kind of like, I don't know, thrill seekers maybe. And so like, I'm just curious, like, you know, what have you done that would like, I don't know, either scare you or scare other people that you do for pleasure?
Carl, I hyped up Tuckerman's Ravine to go skiing last year. That's probably one of the scariest experiences of my life because it was like a sheet of ice.
So steep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like straight up and I did not have climbing gear. So just kicking my toes into the ice, hoping that I wouldn't slide down.
Is it like carrying your skis and boots?
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah. Look up Tuckerman Ravine. Yeah, it's backside of Mount Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything like that. I don't do scary things at all.
I try and keep it safe.
Yeah.
That's why I'm never rehearsing.
Yeah, exactly. The scariest thing we do is pull out a song that we didn't practice.
So you played a lot at the Galaxy, the house show, but where now in Connecticut is your favorite venue now? Like, where is there a specific spot that you feel like you gravitate to?
Eureka Audio. It's a studio that we record at.
As far as that's where you. We just played Pacific Standard Tavern. That was really cool.
Great place. Love that place.
State House is awesome.
Yeah.
Anywhere Mike Voice is doing sound.
Mike Voice, sound guy that runs Connecticut. Yeah. We also we play another house venue that was an offshoot of the Galaxy called The Sun.
Yeah.
That's part of our scene. Like, we're very good friends with them, who lives there. And, you know, we've been playing with them for years. So that's definitely still a place. We're actually playing there in March.
Yeah, and that's... The Sun, like THEE Sun, right?
Correct, yeah. Exactly. And by the way, they did that well before Megan Thee Stallion, so.
So you mentioned Eureka Audio. That's in Hamden, right?
That is in Hamden. Nice call.
It was.
Yeah, oh, no, it wasn't Hamden.
It wasn't Hamden, but now it's in North Haven.
Right, yes.
Oh, not so okay. So that's where the four of you recorded Besides, and you recorded that live, right?
Yeah. No, that's not where we recorded. We recorded that Eureka Audio, but it was in a different location at the time.
That was when it was in Hamden. Yeah, we recorded that all live just because those were
scheduling.
scheduling, but also like those were songs that we knew we had to feel out because they weren't actually done until like that day. So we kind of just had to play them through to find out where they end up. But we actually did all those six songs on that one day there, which I still find baffling because we're going on a long time for this next album. But it's going to be good, but I can't believe we did that in one day.
Yeah, that's fun.
That sounds really intense. And so whenever you said that you wanted to record it live so you can, I think you said, find out how they end or something like that. Like, what do you mean by that?
I want to say that only one of them was done before. I think that was Thigh, because we already actually recorded that one on our very first album when we were the Equinox House Band. But it was really aggressive of a song, so we wanted to get it with an actual like big amp sound and things like that. But all the other ones, I think that they were kind of open-ended just in terms of, you know, you could have the solo go for a little longer, and we didn't know exactly how we wanted to kind of wrap up the end of it. So just during that day, like I know in New Maroon, I didn't even know how the drums were going to be. And then Mike was just like, just play it straight, just go straight forward. And it was great because it ended up being a super good pop hit. That wouldn't have happened if we just like thought about it too hard for too long. We just went in and just recorded it and it ended up great.
There was a lot of songs that, we knew we could do live. Like we already have a lot of songs that we're doing on the new album that were done already that we chose not to record on B-sides because it would have taken more time. We wanted specific things on it. And these were songs that we were like, we can just smash this out in one day and get it done. And it felt good. And I think we pulled it off.
Yeah. So whenever you keep referring to like the new album, is there like a timeline you have for that?
Yeah.
Very, very soon. It's done being recorded. It's almost done being mixed. It will be mastered. We'll be getting it out ASAP. It's called Full Swing. It's got a number of tracks, like, I don't know, 12 tracks. And we spent a long time recording it and we put a lot of effort into it. It's actually the complete opposite of B-sides. It's a heavy studio project. And we've been, you know, putting a lot of layers in. There's a lot of surprise instruments that you won't have guessed that Tiv has on there. And we're really looking forward to dropping this album. We've been putting a lot of work into it. Some of these songs are multiple years old. Glow, which was our single, that's probably 4 years old at this point. So we've been really like working to perfect some of these just so we can drop them. You know, it's coming out very, very soon.
Yeah, cool. Very soon for a very long time now. But yeah. We were just
probably like a month.
Yeah, it's probably a month out. Last week, and now I actually believe it when I tell people that it's very soon. it's nothing left to like record or anything like that. It's all just the fine tunings at the end. So I'd be hopeful like by end of March it should be out.
Nice. And so this was also recorded at Eureka?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And who's mixing it?
Eureka.
Yeah.
The guys there, Tom and Jesse.
Tom Stringer and Jesse LeBranch. Yeah. And Jesse LeBranch is part of Wolf Harbor, which is also a Galaxy based band. And Tom Stringer was in Coastal Notion. It's also a Galaxy based band. I mean, there's a lot of, we're all connected.
Yeah. And so whenever you say Galaxy, is that also like part of the Galaxy LLC that runs the KMA?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Okay. So can you tell me a little bit about KMA?
Yeah. So, definitely. It's another long history. My buddy Rob, who went to UNH, he lost his brother back in 2012. And his brother was really big into music. It was his brainchild. He started the festival to bring everyone together, like his brother's friends, our friends, everybody that appreciated music and art in the same vein. And we started celebrating that once a year. And it's just started to grow. And then like 2 years ago now, Rob stepped down because it was getting a little too much. It got pretty chaotic. So we kind of regrouped, we renamed it, and we've been growing ever since. Last year was a smash. This year is looking like it's going to be even better.
Yeah.
We're KMA now because it's pretty close to the Catterskill Falls, which is up in the Durham area, Hunter. Yeah. And it's a great like way to gather all the bands that are in this scene in our community that we might not get to see all the time. And we put on shows throughout the year, the showcases, to really like keep the community together and keep these bands playing and bring in new people and just, you know, keep music alive, keep our spirits up.
Yeah. Support each other, basically.
Yeah.
So like one of the things I like about like the KMA shows, at least the ones that I like I see around New Haven, is that they're always like really diverse. Like not only like in the lineups, but also like where they are. Like sometimes you'll see one at Three Sheets, sometimes at the Cellar. Like it's not just one specific place, which I feel like sometimes happens with these kinds of like, you know.
Yeah. Things. When you start booking, it's easy to just book at the same place every time.
Right.
But someone like Voice or someone like myself, I like to play new places. And when you have a band that, at least for me, when I'm putting a show together and there's a band that I want, I have a specific vision for where they're going to play, like exactly, and like how I want it to go. And it's just nice to be able to offer something different. The same people aren't going to the same place for the same bands every couple weeks. It's, hey, we're up in your neighborhood now, or we're over in Pennsylvania, or we got a show here and there. And it just keeps everyone together because not everyone lives near New Haven anymore.
Right.
I also think a lot of the benefit to some of these, and the reason that it turns out as diverse as that, is because KMA, between some of us and between the UNH people, there's a lot of actual pros that are in this scene. So people that make their money booking shows and make their money, you know, tour managing bands and things like that. So when
doing sound.
So when it comes time to like do all these things, we have professional contacts, we have personal contacts, and we all know how to go about these things. And everybody gets involved too. So even if it's somebody that's not a professional, they want to come and they want to help volunteer, they're welcome to come do that as well. So, I mean, it's a grassroots thing, but it's kind of taken on its own life at this point. And now, in multiple regions, we're pretty well known at this point.
Yeah. So can you give any hint about the lineup for 2020?
I don't know.
That's okay.
We have a lot of great bands that have played in the past.
Yes.
Some new ones for sure.
Definitely some new ones.
Keep it nice and vague.
Some good headliners.
Tip is playing on Saturday.
Tip always plays Saturday. If there's one thing you can count on at KMA, it's Tip is playing Saturday.
But like in the past, you've had like a lot of really great Connecticut bands. Like I remember last year you had Mandala, you had The Most.
Yeah. There's a lot of Connecticut stuff. There'll be a lot of Connecticut bands this year too. We were just talking with Fat Astronaut last week at our show. So there's a lot of people. They're a great band, by the way, too.
There's a lot of
local Connecticut people that will be involved as always. And it's going to be just, it's going to be just like last year, but even better.
Yeah, I think Fat Astronaut is maybe my favorite Connecticut band that has congas.
Yeah, they came out to support last week at the KMA fundraiser. That was good. That's awesome. Cool.
Is there anything else you want to say about the KMA?
Come.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So one thing that I wanted to do, I've never done this before, but I thought it would be fun, is so as I was like doing research for this, I went to your Facebook page. And one of the most awkward things that any band ever does on their Facebook page is they have to list their influences, right? Like it's always a weird kind of awkward thing to do. And so I thought it would be fun to run through some of these. And I want you to tell me, what about these bands do you feel like influences your music or the way that you approach music?
And it doesn't have to be,
so it doesn't have to be like a super long, drawn out, you can be a one word or it can be like, just your thoughts about it. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Okay, cool. So the first one, J Dilla.
That's me. it doesn't really come out in our music that much, but I just like the natural sound of how he produces, and like it sounds like it's coming from the heart.
I believe his birthday was yesterday too.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I forgot to get him anything. I'm so sorry.
I heard he likes donuts.
What about? Yeah,
it's like natural songwriting and like production. It's inspiring.
Okay. What about Steely Dan?
How much time you got, buddy? They're the greatest pop band that ever lived. End of story.
Is everybody else in the band feel that way?
Honestly, yes. Yes. They're the kings of the studio. They hire the best people to whatever they need on their tracks. They get the best musicians on it. So. Mm-hmm.
No choice, everything. And they're genius. Yes. That's all there is to say about it.
Then what is the best? So I'm not... Like I've listened to maybe two or three of their records. I'm still a newbie. I got into them very, very late. So what do you think is the best Steely Dan record. And don't say
Jump record.
Yeah, Asia's probably.
Yeah, I was gonna say don't say that one.
I mean, but the thing is, that's like saying like, I don't know, like what's
Sergeant Pepper's is
what's the best album, yeah. What's the best resort in Cozumel, Mexico? Like they're all pretty fucking good, you know what I mean? Like,
So, speaking of Sgt. Pepper's, you have also listed the Beatles. So, what about the Beatles do you find influential?
The hair.
Yeah. we take singing and two people singing into one microphone from them.
Yeah. We also take everything from them.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. It depends what era.
The ability to be so like simple, but at the same time get extremely complex and experimental, all in one band is just something that you don't really see a lot of. But they really started just being the pop band that, with the success, instead of getting mainstream, they went out of it and just created some things that no one ever heard before.
Yeah, that's true. I'd also like to add in that I like their medley based songwriting too. I love short 1-2 minute hook based songs. Yeah. And then it really seeps into my songwriting, and the Beatles kind of gave permission for musicians to write these types of songs, you know.
I like that they fight.
Do you guys ever fight?
Fist fight? Yeah.
It's not really the energy out with me of blood and tears.
Yeah. We've all been good friends for so long at this point. If we have an issue, we say it immediately, so it never grows.
Okay. Yeah. What about the boy from Bridgeport, John Mayer?
Oh, I'll take this one, boys.
Before you start, this is specifically a Chris reference.
Yeah.
Whatever he says, the rest of us don't agree.
When I was in college, I had every John Mayer album chronologically on my dorm. But no, I love John Mayer, and he's just great. I mean, the musicians that he draws from, all the influence. I really took a big influence from him selling out and making a bunch of music, or make a bunch of money, just so he could then go make the music that he wanted to afterwards. I'm really impressed by the styles that he hits. He's one of the greatest guitar players that's ever lived.
What about James Brown?
I love James Brown. That's definitely...
We're not really stepping on any ledges here. Yeah. These are pretty solid influences.
Yeah. Connor and I definitely are into James Brown. When we were in the Pep band, we took a lot of influence from the drum styles and the drum breaks, and
this is showmanship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Snare on the one. Rhythm comes from James Brown.
So a couple of other influences I feel like are, so I can definitely get the Steely Dan vibe out of Tip, because I feel like a lot of your, especially like the more recent recordings, are like really polished. Like they feel like they've been thought over and things like that. But I feel like I also see some influences that are kind of more on the jammy side, which are like, I always think of like as like more drawn out and a little bit more freewheeling. So I see Fish, I see the Grateful Dead. What about them do you feel like influences you?
Oh yeah.
We want to be a jam band so bad.
we're constantly, pardon me for like talking a lot, but we constantly are riding the line between trying to improv, but also not lose the power of the song.
Right.
So, like, especially Mike and I come from a very heavy jam background. I've seen Fish like 20 times. That's how I grew up in my basement. I'm sorry, in my basement, like learning those songs, just jamming on a Dick song for a Fish song for like 45 minutes. So that definitely comes from the background. But yeah.
What about Sublime?
We should probably take that off.
Okay, fair enough.
We used to play one of those songs.
Okay. And then the final one that I'll throw out is Jamiroquai.
Oh, yeah.
Another Chris one.
That's bass, baby. That's Stuart Zender is one of the best bass players in a band ever. I have them, their logo tattooed on my leg.
Cool. Okay.
The rest of us like Jamiroquai.
Okay. I didn't know if it was because like you like covered Canned Heat and like to dance along with it, you know, like Napoleon Dynamite style or anything.
But that is how I tell everybody who Jamiroquai is though.
Okay. Yeah, usually I think about the Virtual Insanity video. That's the one that I think that comes to my mind first when I try to describe who it is.
Which one?
The Virtual Insanity video.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
All right. So I know you guys are short on time, so I'll give you the last question. This is kind of a multi-part question, so it's a little bit bigger. If there was going to be a Tip movie being made about the band, who would you want to play each of you and why?
Nice. Oh, man.
Leo. Leon, but he's got to work out a little more.
I think I got a Neil Patrick Harris vibe.
Yo, that's so true.
If Obama's not available.
Oh, yeah, I'd want someone who would not be able to act at all.
Robert Downey Jr. in blackface, in whiteface.
So you were saying we could edit stuff out? No, I'm kidding.
All that stuff about Jamiroquai. Yeah.
Lookalike.
That would be awesome. Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. Yeah. I do Joaquin Phoenix so everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I'm actually not.
So, all right. So now that you have like the cast for this movie, like who do we want to direct it?
Oh, man.
Tarantino. Yeah. Tarantino, I want all four of us dead in our own blood by the end. Actually, by the middle scene, and then have it just work back around to it. Yeah,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, Tarantino. Just okay. Super confusing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so what is the end of Pip's story? Like, how do you all die violently?
Well, you just said it. We all die violently.
We drive to Eureka, and our wheel falls off on the highway, like almost happened last week.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like you died at each other's hands or if it was like you were taken out by like some rival band.
It's like we fall into like a meat grinder or something like that.
I think we all get electrocuted on stage because that has happened.
We legitimately almost died last weekend though because Chris's back wheel, the hubcap was, no, the whole wheel was literally like hand loose on the lugs and we drove an hour and a half to New Haven. So this might have been a different interview.
So
it was a historical fiction. We would die that way.
So is there anything that each of you would recommend that listeners check out in terms of like other bands or anything like that? If you want to give like a shout out.
Yeah, I mean, we got lots of people. Pardon me if I forget anybody, but like Tim Stout, Rhino,
Ronald Reggae,
yeah.
Trap Rabbit.
Yes, Trap Rabbit's amazing.
Trap Rabbit is awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
Wolf Harbor.
We love Wolf Harbor. We love
Sonar Shacks. Those are our homies.
Yeah. Who else do we like? T and the Rex.
Terrence and Connor are in another band in Boston, a funk band called T and the Rex, for now. Yeah. Our homies in New Haven, really the whole scene. Once you see one of us, you'll figure out who everybody else is pretty quick. Cool.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time. We don't know. It sounds like by the end of March, we will have, what was the album's name one more time?
Full Swing.
Hell yeah. All right. So we will have Full Swing out. This podcast is going to come out before then though. So look out for it. All right, Tip. Thanks, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate this.
Cool.
Thank you so much to Tip, who I happened to catch between gigs on the weekend. So this episode was a little bit shorter than some previous episodes. So I really appreciate the time that they took out to talk with me. To learn more about the Catterskill Music and Arts Festival, you can visit kmafest.com. You can also follow Tip on the usual social media platforms, especially Instagram or Facebook, or you can track them on tipthemusic.bandcamp.com. Their album Full Swing is going to be out very soon, but in the meantime, you can check out Besides, their album from 2018, if you haven't already. All right, that's it. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.